Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download Stand Well Back. Listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Danny Murphy discuss an incredible night of Champions League entertainment. It was honours even at the Emirates, with various incidents to dissect. Kane's elbow, Saka's penalty shout, and Gabriel's handball. Real Madrid and Manchester City play out a 3-3 draw. Who wins the competition for the most stunning goal of the night? Elsewhere, we speak to Arsenal and Scotland defender Kieran Tierney, currently on loan at Real Sociedad. And the Masters gets underway on Thursday. We preview the 88th edition of the iconic tournament with TalkSport's Bob Bupka. You're listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Honours even at the Emirates and honours even at the Bernabeu. 2-2 at the Emirates, 3-3 at the Bernabeu. A night of stunning goals and entertainment. So many questions, though, to ask about the Arsenal result and the Arsenal performance against Harry Kane's Bayern Munich. Post-match, Mikel Arteta rolled up and he was asked if his team's inexperience at this stage in Europe had come to the fore.
I don't know, but obviously that created some insecurity in the team because we have given them things that they have to earn it, and then you start to defend open space against them that they have a huge capacity to hurt you there. But afterwards, I think we reacted well and we never gave up. Thank you to the crowd again for the atmosphere. It was unbelievable. And we go again in Munich.
They go again in Munich. But Danny, was it a case of Arsenal in unknown territory here as far as where they're at now in this European tournament, up against Bayern Munich, who have serious nous in Europe at this stage?
I think there was occasions in the first half where it was a bit frenetic, chaotic, if you like, in a first half of a four-half game, if you like. They got the early goal, phenomenal, and then it didn't settle. And they were still on top of them. Maybe they felt like they could, you know, really go over them, if choice of a better word.
Yeah.
But it's fine lines in football. The reality is, the goal they got back, I mean, it was a good goal, actually, but there's little mistakes you make, which isn't necessarily about tactics. You know, I think Gabriel gave a ball away, or Kivior missed it, whichever way you want to look at it. And Sane was on fire. I mean, we know how good he is, but he was causing them real problems.
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity missed.
Do you think the occasion got to them?
No. I think they played all right. I think they steadied the ship after they went 2-1 down, and they composed themselves and got back in and got themselves a result. I think there's a lot to learn from it. It wasn't their best performance, but certainly, I don't think they froze, no. I think they just got done by a very, very good attacking side. I mean, counter-attack side, who sucked them in a little bit at times, but overall, I mean, they're still in the tie. They've got a great opportunity. Munich aren't brilliant at the moment. It's a 50-50 game still.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, I think, did I hear you say you still take them to go through?
I do. I still think that the it's not an ideal result. You'd like to come away from the first leg, especially when it's at home, with a significant victory to put the onus on Munich. But Munich have got the onus on them. They've got to play in front of their home crowd with a season that's falling apart domestically. So they're not going to be able to just sit in and play a brand of football that Arsenal won't like. Mm. I mean, you know, I look at the setup yesterday. I think that it's one thing playing Kiwa against Burnley. It's another thing playing him in a Champions League game. I think he got exposed a few times. I think Arsenal, like Danny says, they were a little bit frenetic. They had hold of the game. The momentum and the energy in the stadium was quite significant. It literally went out like a balloon. It went down the moment the Bayern Munich scored. I think there's still lots in this tie for Arsenal. I still pick them to overcome Munich. I don't think Munich are a great side. I think they're okay. I think Harry Kane is a phenomenal player. And the more you see of him, the more you regard him at the highest level, because he's almost Bergkamp-esque in some of the balls that he knocks off now. Mm. And he's the threat and he's the challenge. And of course, Sané was outstanding as well. But again, you know, they're not 16 points behind Leverkusen in Germany, and ultimately only popping up individual performances in the Champions League that give them some substance in a season for no reason. I think Arsenal will put out a better performance, a more measured, a more controlled performance, a balanced performance. And I think players like Martinelli might not make the lineup for the next time around, because we'll see how they do when Arsenal are playing a counter-attacking style. But I think they'll beat them. I think they'll beat Munich. Not because I'm blindly wanting an English club to overcome them. I just don't think Munich are great.
It'll be tough.
It was a game of incidents. We're talking about Harry Kane. I agree with him about Bergkamp-esque. I think you're dead right, Simon. But the Kane elbow, I mean, does he get more of a free pass amongst pundits because he's England captain? This is Harry Kane. Can't send him off.
I don't think that was a sending off at all.
You don't?
No. But I think...
It was cynical, wasn't it?
I think... I don't think so. I didn't see him.
He had him in his sights.
No, not for me. I think you there's a difference between that, what you just did, that pointing the elbow at someone and actually putting your arm up to protect yourself ready to get hit. And I think that's what it was. I do agree, though, that players are treated differently based on reputation. Yeah, 100%. We saw that the weekend with Tottenham when Maddison got away with a punch. If that was Romero, who's gone?
Right, right. So Kane's reputation helped him last night?
Probably. A little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's human nature. How can it not?
Yeah.
I mean, Andy McCoist made the observation straight away, didn't he? When he was commentating on it, he turned around and said, "Ooh, I don't like that. He's looked at him. He's gone with his arm. I'm not sure."
Yeah,
about
but you
that.
Do. You do. The thing is, you look to know when someone's coming, and then.
Oh, I know that, but I'm talking about a pundit, because what Jim's characterisation was: does Harry Kane get a pass with pundits in the media?
Oh,
here's
okay.
one that said that potentially it was challenged.
Ali brought it up.
The only one that should really be relevant is not the pundits, is the referee. And if you're saying that referees price into their thinking who they're looking at, in that split moment, he doesn't leave him. He doesn't throw himself around a lot, so I'm not going to send him off.
Sure.
Is that what you're saying happens?
I think I have seen it happen. I mean, not suggesting it did on that occasion, but Harry Kane is a good guy who people look at in a way, in a certain window, don't in a certain light, I should say. But I don't think it was sending off. I just think it was a classic case of, look, I know he's coming, so I'm going to bump, my arm goes
fair
up.
Fair enough. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
This is the same referee who decided, you know, he's got a mature outlook on things, hasn't he? Because he decided that a kid's mistake wasn't a penalty.
Well, Danny, beautiful. You've taken us right to it. I mean, for those who didn't see it, it was a bizarre moment. Right at the end, Gabriel got away with it. After picking the ball up from a goal kick in the area after the whistle went. So Raya squares the ball to him and he picks it up. Which, according to Thomas Tuchel, the referee didn't give us a penalty, as Danny mentioned, as it was a kid's mistake. This was Tuchel on that moment.
I felt like a lot of little decisions against us. I felt a bit like pushed from the crowd, which was a fantastic crowd. And for me, and for all of us, he did a huge mistake in not giving a hand penalty. I know it's a crazy situation, but they put the ball down, he whistles, he gives the ball free, and the defender takes the ball in his hand. What makes us really angry is the explanation on the field. He told our players that it's a kid's mistake and he will not give a penalty like this in a quarter final. This is a horrible, horrible explanation because that means he's judging now handballs. It's a big kid's mistake, adult's mistake. Or whatever. We feel angry because it's a huge decision against us.
Tuchel's right. And the way he articulated it there, Simon, is a horrible, horrible explanation as to why.
If indeed that
he didn't give it.
I mean, I have a reservation about what a lot of comes out of Thomas Tuchel's mouth. This is a manager that gets bounced out of clubs regularly for what he does and doesn't say behind the scenes, whether it's PSG, whether it's Chelsea, and now Bayern Munich.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's only transferring what his players told him.
Well, things get lost in translation. If that is indeed what the referee said, then they have every right to have a high level of irritation and a high level of reaction to it. But we know that things get passed along in translation, and if he didn't hear it firsthand himself, then perhaps he should reserve his judgment. But the evidence is in front of his eyes. If indeed the situation manifests itself as we all saw, then it's a challenged decision. It's a poor decision.
It is a poor decision, but I've got to say, what a great world it would be if refs were allowed to be... I know they're not, so I'm hypothesising, but, you know, to ref with common sense. Because, obviously, the ball gets past him, he puts his hand on it to take a goal kick, in effect. It's a pen. By the letter of law, it's a pen, no doubt.
Yeah.
But actually, it's quite refreshing. Do you want to win a game like that? We didn't, you know what I mean? It's like...
So you kind of back whether the referee did?
Well, I can't, because it's not the law, so it's nonsense. But it is a pen. Everyone knows it's a pen. But I kind of get the logic around football. That's the way... You don't want to win games like that, do you? And also, you don't, because of a ridiculous decision like that, he gets no credit then for the way they... Both refs in both games last night... trying to keep the game going, yeah, and flowing, and telling people to get up. And even the Saka one, Ali McCoy's called it so quickly. Brilliant, by the way. Yeah. You know, it put him... So many pundits wouldn't do that because they would... The backlash from the Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
Saka kicked out. It's not a pen.
But, I mean, there would have been murders if he'd given the pen. Would there not? Like, actually, no, that's a pen. There would have been chaos. We'd be talking about that for years, the moment Gabriel picked the ball up after Raya squared it to him. That moment that a penalty was given in a Champions League game at 2-2.
But imagine going out to that. Say that was the second game. Imagine going out in the last few minutes.
Yeah, but was it a penalty?
Well, of course it is. You can't... It could be ridiculous.
But you say imagine going out. Yes, so to that extent, you can imagine going out.
Yeah, but that's not the way it should be. So I'm glad he made that decision, the ref. Arsenal shouldn't be going to Munich 3-2 down because of an innocent mistake of him putting his hand on the ball.
But another ref would have given it.
Possibly.
Where are you with it? I see you...
he's dreaming, digesting what I'm...
staring into space about this. But do you think it was a pen? So it's a pen. I mean, Danny says penalty.
I think it's a penalty because it's a penalty. I mean, the defender's gormless, so I don't know what he thinks he's doing.
Yeah, but he's not trying to...
get an advantage.
It's not like deliberately fouling someone.
But that's irrelevant.
No, but Sam is right.
It is irrelevant, I get it.
Where's his head?
But how brilliant.
But no one saw
how
it.
Brilliant, how brilliant that a referee had the balls to go, he's made a mistake. Somebody, a five-year-old would do this. I know it's pathetic, but let's get on. Come on, let's play.
It's almost as if he's saving Gabriel from the embarrassment at the moment.
No, he's done something referees should never do, which is taking the law into his own hands.
Yeah.
And what he's done is he's made a mature decision off his own moral compass,
yeah,
going, I'm not going to decide a quarter... If he said it, by the way,
yeah,
I'm not going to decide a quarter final of Champions League on that fella making, yeah, a little mistake and giving you a goal for it. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Come on,
but
get
the
on
irony
with
it is that he wouldn't have decided it. He would have implemented the laws, and the defender and his gormless approach to what was in front of him would have decided it. And I wonder if... I mean, I didn't think...
Gormless.
Well, it is, it's gormless. What, yeah, you know, you're not paying attention to what's around,
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
But you wonder if it gets carried in. I didn't think it was a penalty, but I reckon 9 out of 10 referees, or maybe 8 out of 10 referees in a game of that magnitude with the home support, they would have given the Arsenal penalty in terms of Saka.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you wonder if the referees carried that into that decision-making process, going... Ugh, because you say it's human nature.
Yeah.
I didn't give Munich. I've coughed to the fact that I've made a mistake there. This is a marginal one. I'm going to level this up.
Yeah, that's a good point, Simon.
I think you're spot on. But the only problem with that, if VAR had seen it and gone, you better got to go and look at it, it's a definite penny.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Well, when it comes to it, you were spot for choice, were you not? Some of the goals last night in the Bernabeu, it finished Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 3. What about Bernardo Silva in the second minute? What about Foden? Oh my God. Guardiol, who never is in the score sheet, but he was last night. And of course, Federico Valverde's magnificent volley into the bottom corner. I mean, you're spot for choice, are you not, when it comes to who wins a competition for the most stunning goal of the night. Last night, which one, Danny? What's the standout?
Guardiola was the best because it's on his weak foot.
Right.
Yeah. The other two are wonder goals, but
Valverde's was an absolute peach.
Yeah,
right?
But it's the only like that that technique cutting across.
Keep it down.
Yeah, cutting across that, those volleys. A lot of players can do it. It's still a wonderful goal. And Foden pinging one, like beautiful strike in the top corner. Amazing goal. Amazing goals.
Yeah.
But to actually have one on your weaker foot, to get the curve and the pace that precise on your weak foot for a defender, that's the best one.
Which one of those goals last night would you have been proud of?
The volley.
The volley.
Volleys always look better.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever had a volley? No, I'm not.
Yes, I have. Second ever goal at Wembley.
You put one, well, that was with your shin, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was with his white boot.
It was a pearler.
Oh, please.
Neville Southall, nearly burned Neville Southall's eyes off.
So, Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 3, and they've got to do it all again at the Etihad. And then post-match, Guardiola was interesting, talking about all about levels and, of course, where the match actually was played.
It's Bernabeu, my friend. You are from England, you don't know what does it means playing Bernabeu. And in Champions League, take the result. And the way we played, especially, the way we played. First half, players like have the composure to so safe with the ball, to don't lose the ball. We lost more than usual against Madrid. It's so difficult because they have not just legs, they have the quality to make this transition effectively. But in the second half, we play with incredible personality. We try to, you know, to score goals. We did it. I cannot say more. Score 3 goals in Bernabeu is really, really good.
I mean, Danny is right. I mean, we're used to seeing Manchester City absolutely control a football match. This was a game last night that was out of control.
Well, you're talking about, for me, the two best teams in Europe coming together too soon. The quality on show, incredible. So much creativity, pace, confidence. You can't dominate a team that has that much quality in it both ways. I actually thought when City got the first goal, I thought, whoa, this could be... I mean, they got a bit of luck with the deflection to get back in it, Madrid. But after that, it was just incredible to watch, just waiting what was going to happen next. So, I mean, when you actually look at it, to go and get a 3-3 there without Walker, without De Bruyne, he was ill, wasn't he, before the game? I know he was on the bench, but he was sick.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge result, that. You've got to fancy now, massive City at home. Fancy them massively. Absolutely.
You know a player when you see one, Danny. Bellingham, is he an utter phenomenon at this young age yet? I mean, he's everywhere on the field of play.
He's just a wonderful footballer. He's given a gift in terms of his technical abilities, seeing pictures, but he's just a brilliant athlete to match. Normally you're one or the other, and he's both.
Yeah.
He can play anywhere. He looks comfortable at that level. For a lad of his age to be as comfortably as at that level is very unusual. But actually, Foden stole the thunder a little bit, didn't he, last night with that wonder goal again in a big moment. Mm. A bit like in the derby, it was a similar strike when he played United. He is...
It feels like
he's really...
Stepped on.
Stage where he thinks, I can impact every game I'm playing.
Mm.
I'm not a bit part anymore.
Yeah.
He starts all the time.
Yeah.
And he's looking... The problem is with Foden is where you get him in the England team, because you can't not have him in it. And that's the headache for Southgate at the moment.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see what he does with that.
The thing about Bellingham, Simon, just before I forget it, I watched him last night. He's only newly... He's 20 in June. He's 21 in June. He's 20 at the moment. But, you know, he picks his moment just to get the crowd going. This is the Bernabeu. You know, this is the Real Madrid faithful. Yeah. He's like, come on, you lot, get behind us. 20.
Yeah, no, he's settled in. And you've got to give him lots and lots of credit for it.
Yeah.
Madrid aren't the side that they were before. And I would dispute that they are the best, second best side in Europe.
I think
the German team at the top of the German league. And I'm being criticised for his pronunciation. So can someone tell me, is it Kewson or Kausen?
I just let you go yesterday when Leverkusen. It was Leverkusen.
Leverkusen.
And then it's
Bayer Leverkusen.
Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep saying it wrong.
Now, if
Madrid
played Leverkusen 10 times, they'd beat them 7.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, this is a side that's running away with the Bundesliga. And this is a side, Madrid, that have only just got themselves into a position where they can win. Because up until about 6 weeks ago, an unrecognised side in Spanish side was sitting top of the league.
But do you not think it's a pick'em, the second leg?
I think
Real Madrid not more than capable of going to the Etihad and winning?
City would have to have a really bad game.
But I think if City are on their game, put Kyle Walker on, shut Vinicius Jr. up like he normally does, I think they'll bash Madrid.
I think
they're a much better side than Madrid.
The thing is, Vinicius and Rodrigo playing up front together. He's not really played. They switch it. Some of that one will go out on the left, one will go out on the right. But they're playing as a two and one behind. So it's not as important that Walker's back to marking man. I thought Kanji did a good job, actually. What's City's strength is the way they can just open any team up. They got in some brilliant positions last night, scored three in Madrid. I mean, nobody does that. And that's not even playing to their max.
Chelsea went there a couple of years ago and bashed them up and only got caught out in the last 5 minutes, didn't they?
That was Chelsea of a different era, wasn't it?
What's your gut instinct, Danny? I don't think it's far from over.
I think City would have to have problems. A bad day at the office not to beat them.
Right. And you take City?
Yeah, I take City and Arsenal. Okay. Not because I'm someone who said a little Englander. I think Arsenal are a better side than Bayern Munich. And I think Bayern Munich had their moment in the sun and they'll revert to the type that they've trotted out for most of the season domestically.
I think City will.
And I think City will beat Madrid. And go through to the semi-final. Absolutely, I do.
What's that team in Germany? You know, Alonso's team?
Leverkusen.
Leverkusen.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
World's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Last night, there was a time you might have thought at the Emirates, lining up for Arsenal, one Kieran Tierney. Not so, because the man who played over 100 games for Celtic, then almost played the same number of games for Arsenal, has moved on. He's playing in La Liga. He plays for Real Sociedad, where he is currently on loan. Come the summer, he'll play for Scotland, of course, at the Euros, alongside people like Andy Robertson and John McGinn. So I got into conversation a short time ago with Kieran Tierney, and I said to him, all right, The move to leave Arsenal on loan and head out to Real Sociedad, how did it come about?
It's hard to put a finger exactly on it, but just the way things had developed at Arsenal, the way the team was going and what had happened last season with game time, etc., it probably worked best for both parties that I go out and get a new experience, get some game time. And when you don't play, you do lose a bit of your confidence. So to go over here and get that back as well has been great.
And of course, you're still on loan there. Do you ever see the door being reopened to you back at Arsenal?
You never know in football. It's probably quite rare that it happens. You come back from a loan. Of course, you've got the circumstance like Saliba and stuff where they just come back. And I don't think he's been out of the team since. He's not been on the bench since. But maybe a bit different for someone who's played 4 years already and goes back. But you genuinely never know. Football's a mad place. So let's see what happens.
Do you keep in touch with the guys there? Do you keep in touch with Mikel Arteta?
I've not spoke to him, but he's busy with a lot going on now and a lot to fight for Arsenal. But some of the boys I still keep in touch with, like Ramsdale and that as well. A few of them that I was close to, like Matt Turner, Rob Holding, that they've left as well. So it's a bit of a different change room.
Of course, you'll watch from distance. You'll see that Arsenal are serious Premier League title contenders and they've gone deep in the Champions League. Is there a tinge of regret that you're not there to be part of that?
I wouldn't say regret because I kind of knew this season that Arsenal are going to fight for everything. So you need to think of stuff like that when you make your decision. So I don't regret it one bit, but I'm buzzing, and like I knew Arsenal were going to be up there this season, and they're doing brilliant.
The Premier League, do Arsenal win it?
I think they can. I don't know exactly the run-in for the three teams fighting for it, but I think they're in a better position than last year. They've got more experience than last year, and I think their whole game is developed so much as well. Like defensively, they're solid. They don't give much away. And if you can keep that record up, then 100%, you've got every chance to go on and do it.
So listen, Kieran, tell me, what is life like with Real Sociedad? What have you learned?
A lot, to be fair. Not as much Spanish as I thought I would. It is actually very, very hard to learn. You need to do it consistently, 3-4 times a week. And when we've got a lot of games, we're in the Champions League, 3 games a week, it is hard to keep the lessons up. But I've learned a different style of football as well. I've learned a different culture. How people over here live is different as well. But honestly, and I'm not even just saying that, it's been an amazing experience and I'm enjoying it. And it's sad because it is. It's only 6-7 weeks until the season's done.
What have you learned about their style of football?
It's just different because last season I was told to play in a different role. So this year I'm back out to like the traditional left-back role, and how they play with the wingers or the change of formations. It's just learning. You're under a new manager, and I think no matter what country or what club you're in, if you've got a new manager, you're going to learn new things about numerous things in football. So, it's been brilliant, man.
It's a club, of course, where it is in that part of Spain. It's got a fanatical following, hasn't it?
Yeah, the Basque region, Basque country, an amazing place. And it is. It's different from the Spain that you know. Let's say you would go on holiday on and stuff like that. It's totally different. But the culture here is amazing. The people are all so friendly. Walking about the city and that is, it's amazing. It's a beautiful place as well. Like, I would recommend everyone to come to San Sebastian to visit, because it is the nicest place that I've ever been.
You're keeping some company, Kieran. You were up against Bellingham in your time out there. What's he like to play against now? Jude Bellingham, of course, these days of Real Madrid.
Yeah, I know. I think I actually played them 2 games in a row, because we played England, Scotland v England, played against them, then played against them the very next game, like 4 days later or whatever. So now he's doing amazing things. I don't think he needs any more praise from me. He's getting praise from the people right at the top of the game. So I think he knows himself how well he's doing.
How did you cope against him?
We never won the game, so I can't say too well, but I gave everything.
You would keep in touch with people back in Glasgow. Did you watch Rangers Celtic on Sunday?
Yep. One of the best games I've watched in a long time. Absolutely devastated. Couldn't hold on to the victory. But to be honest, to go there with no fans and come away with a point and to have the title in your hand still is kind of all you can ask for after a game like that.
Do you get emotional when you watch Celtic and you're not part of it?
Yeah, 100%, because you're still a Celtic fan and you can go back to being the fan again. When you're a player, you have to try and detach yourself a little bit and take some of the emotions out of it. But when it's when you don't play there, then now you can be the fan you were when you were growing up, which is nice.
Celtic didn't win it, as you say, but neither did Rangers. And there's one to go. Whose title is it?
Well, I really hope Celtic. I think Celtic have got a track record of turning up in the big games. As I don't know how many in the last derbies Celtic have won, but I'm sure the percentage is in their favour. So I think as long as they keep doing what they're doing, because I think the last few weeks they've been playing brilliant with a couple of injuries, big injuries in the squad as well. So with people coming back and the form that we're on now, I think it will look good, hopefully.
Do you ever see a time that you'll pull on the shirt again and be back at Celtic?
Who knows? You never know in football. It's a connection that I'll always have, and it's somewhere I imagine I'll always be linked with if I'm to move from any club. So you never know.
Kieran, we've got the Euros to look forward to. It would only be Scotland opening the tournament, wouldn't it, against a host Germany. What kind of Euros do you think this will be for Scotland?
I think it'll be tough. I don't know what everyone else is thinking, but the other two teams, apart from Germany, are really, really strong as well. Knowing Switzerland quite a bit from Granit Xhaka and knowing that their results and the tournaments they've qualified for and how far they've got, like, it's going to be hard. We are probably still the underdogs, although we've qualified last time. We've not been on the best form recently. I've not won a game in a few. So I think we'll be going in as underdogs, but I think it might suit us to an extent. But we need to go and try and better what we've done at the last Euros, that's for sure. We need to go and give everything. We can't use it as an excuse, like it was our first time we're there, we're more experienced. It's a lot of the same boys, so we're a lot older. And we've played in a lot of big games as well since then. So we need to go and give it a right go, for sure.
And we need our key players.
I think we do. I think we need the top players who are performing week in, week out at the top level, like Cal McGregor. He's always there. He's one of the best players that I've ever played with. And I think some of the work that he can do goes unnoticed. And it's not until he's out of the team that you notice how much you need him. And Andy Robertson, one of the best left-backs in the world for the last however many years. John McGinn is flying in the Prem, and when he pulls on a Scotland jersey, he's different class as well. So, yeah, we need players like that. The last few years has showed the strength of the squad. I think it's a collective. We need everyone to be there and available.
Listen, what chance do you give England of winning it?
A very good chance. I think they've got an amazing team, playing with some of the boys for a few years at Arsenal and playing against England not long ago as well. I think surely they've to go in there, one of the favourites.
That was Kieran Tierney speaking from Spain yesterday, and of course it is life for him at the moment on loan to Real Sociedad, but as you heard there, never rule out him returning to London to play again, maybe for Arsenal, of course his parent club, and also never rule out, you never know in football, he says, the opportunity, should it come along, to return to Celtic. You just do not know.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
So it's that time again. We're in April. What happens in April? One of the biggest and best tournaments in world golf gets underway, although Simon doesn't have much interest in it, which amazes you and me, Danny, but that's by the by. It's the US Masters at Augusta, Georgia. Who's going to win it this time around? The 88th edition of the Masters set to get underway tomorrow. On Thursday, I'm delighted to say the legend that is TalkSport golf correspondent Bob Bupka joins us live. Mr. Bupka, good to speak to you. How do we find you?
Well, I got old now. It's Mr. Bupka. What's going on here? I hate to go to bed anymore.
You're Bob to us, Bob Bupka. Great to speak to you. So what we're looking at this time around, who are the runners and riders that catch the eye?
Well, I say one thing, James. If I had all of those answers, I'd be in Las Vegas and you'd be formally retired. I'd be able to take care of you. But there's a lot of buildup going into this one. Why don't we just start with, Tiger Woods. He has shown up. He's played some practice rounds, played a practice round with Fred Couples, his good buddy. Couples said he's hitting it fantastic. Interesting thing with Tiger Woods, because of his injuries, I thought that the ideal thing would be if he had an early tee time on Thursday and a late tee time on Friday, that would give him more time to recuperate. But I'm fascinated to find out that they're putting Tiger out at 1:24 local time on Thursday, which means he'll have an early tee time on Friday, reducing his recovery time considerably. And I'm really curious why they did that.
Wow.
Okay. The thing is with that, Bob, though, couldn't it work the other way? If he has a great first round and he's feeling, although you've still got to recover, it's like just get back out there and keep playing well.
Well, yeah, that's a possibility. And I think that would pertain to anybody else in the field. But when you're dealing with bad knees, bad back, multiple surgeries, I think recovery time, he hadn't played a competitive round really since February. So it's been a long time. And this golf course, it doesn't do it justice on TV as far as how difficult it is to walk. I mean, it really is built on the side of a hill. So, from the clubhouse down to that 12th green is a significant elevation drop. And, Tiger's pushing that 50 envelope and many surgeries. I don't think walking Augusta National is going to be that easy for him.
Obviously there's no holding him down because he says, I'm not a relic. You better can still win this thing. He's a 100 to 1 shot to do it, Bob. Have a listen. This was Woods talking to the media.
I ache every day, and I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot. But the back, the knee, and other parts of the body have to take the load of it, and just the endurance capability of walking a long time and being on my feet for a long time.
What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
I mean, do you think he honestly does believe that, Bob?
Well, he's believed that his whole career. He's always said, and I've been at every major victory Tiger's ever achieved, and every time he was asked prior to the start of those majors, do you think you can win? His stock answer was, if I didn't think I could win, I wouldn't be here. So, yes, in his mind, he certainly thinks that he can win. Do the bookmakers think he can win? Not when they put him out at 100-1.
Of course, many here, Bob, are hoping this is the time for Rory McIlroy. McIlroy tees off, if memory serves me right, with Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele.
Oh, what a three days.
Isn't it, Dan? It's a great threesome, that. Have a listen, Bob. This is McIlroy and his own Masters hopes.
I think one of the most important things is to enjoy it and smell the, I guess not the roses, the azaleas along the way. You know, if I cast my mind back to 18-year-old Rory and I'm, you know, driving down Magnolia Lane for the first time, how would I feel? And I think it's just always trying to go back to, you know, being grateful and feeling incredibly lucky that you can be a part of this tournament and you get to compete in it every year. And thankfully I've improved a bit since, you know, my first start here, and I feel like, you know, I've got all the tools to do well this week.
Bob, one thing that intrigued me about Rory McIlroy, I presume you can pick up, observers can pick up quite a bit by looking at a golfer, how he's sounding, how he's looking, what, you know, what his demeanour is so close to the big start-off time. McIlroy, for that press conference at Augusta, turned up 6 minutes early with minimal warning, took his seat and left 3 minutes after it was scheduled to begin. He spent next to no time. He was up, out. What does that tell us, Bob?
Well, it tells us he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. And truthfully, I don't blame Rory, because that press conference, if it lasted 3 minutes or 3 hours, 99% of the questions were going to either be about live or, you know, how come you haven't won the Grand Slam? You know, Rory McIlroy is such an outstanding golfer. Yes, it's been 34 majors since he last won. But nobody really has any more talent in the game than Rory McIlroy. He's just got to chill out a little bit, not try and do anything fantastic in that first round. Anything around par, maybe one or two under, I think would put him in good stead. And once the momentum starts, McIlroy has the power. He has the finesse. He has everything needed. It's just, does he have the mental toughness to complete that Grand Slam? I mean, only five guys in history have ever done it, so that tells you how tough it is.
Wow. Maybe this is his time. Maybe this is his time. Bob Babka, thank you so much. Bob, we'll be back with you once play gets underway. And of course, it all gets underway tomorrow from Augusta, Georgia, the 88th edition of the Masters.
The world's most dangerous download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.